It's a very personal question, but when I ask it, I trust that you won't shout out, speak up, but just chew it over in your heads. What is it that causes us to fail? No doubt you've been watching, like me, the Winter Olympics and the Six Nations. And the margins between success and failure can be tiny, thousandths of a second in various disciplines. And you think of that over the course of a person's training, the 4 years that's set aside, that's so disciplined and focused on one thing, and the disappointment of it being that between your goal and failure. On a pitch, it can be split second as well. The decision to kick or run, finding an opponent that has a greater will to win than you do, which causes the loss of a game. Turning up, people say, is half the battle, but there's still an opponent waiting that wants the victory, and maybe they want it more than you do. That Olympian who doesn't perform goes back to another 4 years of sacrifice and discipline. I suppose the question for me, to me, and to you, is, are we people who want to win? Or have we become that little bit tired and mislaid, and success isn't that important anymore? Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. After identifying with all of us at his baptism, Jesus then identifies again with us in temptation or testing. It's a necessary part of his ministry. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and there we see the story unfold. It was a contrast between the glory that followed Jesus' baptism, the voice from heaven, that declaration that this is my beloved Son. But now he is faced by a different challenge, being tempted by the devil. Cool water of the Jordan, now a barren, hot wilderness. The huge crowds that gathered round the water's edge, now a barren wilderness. Solitude and silence. The Spirit rests on Christ as a dove. And now the Spirit takes him and plonks him in the desert. A beloved Son, the voice of a loving Father, now replaced by the hiss of the devil, the tempter. Anointed, now attacked, from the water to the fire, from the heavens opening to hell. An instant transformation. Jesus cannot rest on his laurels. Now, he didn't need to be tempted to grow. He endures this temptation so that he can identify with us and demonstrate that he is that sinless character. Of late, there's been lots of talk about people and how they are vetted for particular jobs. Before Jesus' public ministry begins in verse 17 of this chapter, his identity is tested. Even before he begins, everyone knows exactly who Jesus is. So the purpose of this scene is that it affirms Jesus to be God's agent, to be God's Son, before the foundation of his ministry. The gospel reading describes that series of encounters through which Jesus becomes the agent, and that testing allows him to show, to reveal his identity and his allegiance to God. However we think of the devil, his presence in the gospel personifies the vulnerableness of human life in relation to God. No one, not even God's anointed Son, is free from having his identity and his person tested. The devil presents Jesus with three propositions. They're highly desirable outcomes. If Jesus accepts the devil's options, he can address the extensive food shortages for many by turning stones into bread. It's a brilliant idea. He can also gain power over all the empires of the world to put them on the right course. And Jesus can rely on God's protection in that dramatic public attention-seeking display. Matthew's gospel will later narrate Jesus doing just those things. He feeds the crowds with little or nothing. He gains all authority in heaven and earth in his resurrection and his return. He publicly displays God's power and compassion in the healing of people and the casting out of demons. If Jesus acts on the devil's bidding, he ceases to be the agent or son of God. He betrays that identity. He aligns himself with the devil. Far too often we're restless people. We want things done when we want them done. But actually Jesus shows that patience is a good thing. That actually all of those things that the devil was wanting him to do, in due course, he would do himself, his own way, in obedience to God. Maybe a message for me, for you, is that where we see those things that we want done, and we know that they are the right things, that we also are mindful of the appointed time, doing things when we should be doing them, as well as knowing why we should be doing them. Christ accomplishes something real for us that we continually fail to accomplish on our own. He obeys perfectly where we fall short of the glory of God. So we're not trying to learn how to work out our own salvation apart from Christ. Rather, we're looking at the Master, the person who has the confidence and the knowledge to do the things that we can't. In order for us to display a little bit of perseverance and obedience and faith when we find ourselves tempted and taken away from the right path. Because we are and we are promised that we can be more than conquerors. We forget that. We can't just be the gold medal winner or the person with the Calcutta Cup. We can actually be the person who goes above and beyond even that. What the devil is doing is designed to drive a wedge between Jesus and God the Father, trying to lead Jesus to distrust through that same simple kind of question that he succeeded in when he was confronted by Adam and Eve. Did God really say that you can't eat from any of the trees in the garden? The devil was trying to get them to doubt God's goodness and his person. And he led them to question, well, maybe God won't meet my needs. Maybe I can't trust God. Maybe I'm in a situation where my needs need to be met by me. No matter what, I am taking this into my own hands. That wedge of distrust that is just putting distance between Adam and Eve and God, trying to put that wedge between Jesus and the Father. And Jesus responds by saying that if it comes down to it, if choosing between eating and disobeying God, then it's simple. I'll have to just give up eating. If I have to choose between that and obeying God, the choice will always be to obey God, despite what my needs, what I think my needs are. He's modeling for us that need to prioritize, to trust God absolutely, even whenever we find ourselves at our weakest. Because I think in life, it's those times of weakness that we find the worst and the hardest times of testing, just as Jesus did. But Jesus is constantly mindful that whatever the situation, God is always true to his promises and good, even whenever we or he is led into places of extreme challenge or suffering.